As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, presented by Sling. As you've noticed, if you watched last week's pick show, the IQ was considerably lower. It is now back up by an average of 50 points because Nicole has returned. Welcome back, Nicole.
Hello. Hello. Happy to be back, guys. Big weekend.
We missed you. I know.
I missed you guys, too. You know, well, I was at my Thanksgiving table and I was thinking to myself, we didn't go around and say what we were thankful for, but I was going to say, you guys.
Oh, you're thankful.
You're thankful for us, but only to the point where you prioritize other people over us, right? Like your family.
Well, I mean, I had to get home for Thanksgiving. Yes, I did prioritize that over hanging out with you guys.
I'm kidding. Well, we're thankful for you too, Nicole, and welcome back. I'm excited. You can reel me in. Andy struggles sometimes to reel me in. You reel me in a little bit better.
You're a big fish, Ari. Yeah, well, that's all there is to it.
I mean, I feel like that is my main goal on the show, is to balance you guys out and keep you guys relatively on track.
There is an actual trend where when you're not on the show, a clip that they clip out of the show for Twitter purposes are more benign when you're here.
Well,
when you're not here,
behaves.
Yeah. When you're not here, it's like, oh boy, I know exactly what's going to be clipped, and it's good.
So Wakey Ski just on our live chat said, was just listening to Power Hour when I got the notification for this. And I highly encourage all of you to listen to Power Hour with Nicole and Chris Vanini. They were talking about all kinds of crazy changes in college football because theirs is a weekly show from last week to this week. So much change. But Nicole, you were waiting for some news last night. You were chasing news. And it sort of interfered with your Power Hour recording, actually. But you were waiting on the Rose Bowl to make a decision. The decision has been made. What is going on with the college football playoff now?
Yeah, well, finally, it's expanding, and it's going to expand in 2024. The last major roadblock, as we all know, was the Rose Bowl. They were very adamant that they wanted protection and assurances about keeping that very coveted time slot on New Year's Day so that the sun can set over the San Gabriel Mountains. But you know, they were willing to play ball. They were willing to adjust and amend their contract so that this thing can expand in 2024. I mean, again, it goes without saying the repercussions of not playing ball with the CFP on this and not allowing them.
I mean, you want to be on the bus or not?
Right. If you don't help them expand in 2024, you're costing them $500 million and being really difficult. And they're not going to want to work with you for the new contract in 2026. So
yeah, it's
all of that was
finally
resolved.
It's sort of like the SEC and CBS. Like CBS was never going to get that contract back from the SEC because they didn't play ball with the SEC when the SEC expanded. The Rose Bowl is the same thing. It reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons where Homer starts the internet company and Bill Gates comes in and says, okay. And he says, well, I'd like to buy you out. And Homer's like, okay. And he goes, all right, buy him out, boys. And they just come in with baseball bats and break everything. He's like, you think I got rich writing checks? Like that's the thing. If you're the CFP, you don't actually need the Rose Bowl. And I think it's finally dawned on the people who run the Rose Bowl that they are not necessary and can be replaced pretty easily.
And Nicole and I were actually texting about this last night. And, you know, Nicole, you can jump in here. But I feel like as much as the Rose Bowl is the best game I've ever covered, just in terms of aesthetics and tradition and all that stuff, the fan temperament as fans get older and younger fans get out higher or get older, sorry, not higher, the luster of the game.
Oh, the young fans are getting high too.
Yeah, they are.
Lots of laws changing everywhere.
That's quite a Freudian slip there, Ari.
Well, including in California, which is, you know, quite the actual or accident. But I just think that the luster of the game is
Cal Stadium is nicknamed the Trap House now by certain people who play and coach there.
We were talking about how just like Ohio State fans and Ohio State players just wouldn't care about playing in that game. And it's like, that's the new reality of the sport. So if they don't want to play ball and they don't want to be a part of it, you can get phased out real quickly and you become a distant memory. It's like everybody knew that
That's why I was surprised this took this long. I mean, like you really got to understand your place in college football right now and the temperament around you. I mean, the Big Ten just took USC and UCLA. So like the Rose Bowl itself was devalued and all bowls have been devalued in the CFP era. So like to me, this was a no-brainer that we were going to end up here. I'm glad we're finally there because we can finally plan on having an expanded playoff for 2024.
And I also don't have to
eat a hat. Can somebody explain to me the daylight savings thing that we were just joking about? Like if they have a different time slot 5 days later, does the sun not set over the San Gabriel Mountains?
No, Ari, daylight savings time change in December or January. So
no, I know, but I'm saying, like, what's the difference?
First week of
I didn't understand daylight savings until a week ago. My wife had to explain to me that this is a votable thing and it wasn't science.
Ari thought it was like leap year where, you know, the sun, you know, takes 365 and a quarter days to rotate around the sun. So we add the day
the
every 4 years.
Ironic part about it is when you really think about it, I grew up in Arizona, a state that didn't do it, but both states on either side of them also does it. So like, it doesn't make sense scientifically just based on the direction or the geography of it. But I always just thought this is what we do to keep the clocks right.
You didn't think it happened every year?
I knew it happened every year, but I thought it was something that we did to keep the clocks right as we rotated around the sun.
The clocks that are run by batteries.
the actual official time.
The Romans did this.
Oh my God.
I thought that it was a scientific thing. I didn't know it was like, what time do you want it to get dark? Everyone vote on it. Like, I thought it was like, there was a reason we did this other than early do you want to wake up?
Farmers wanted more daylight hours to collect their stuff and harvest their stuff. And that's it. Why it happened.
So that's why I'm saying
it was not about clocks.
Well, I brought up that because I don't understand, like, is there something about the rotation of the Earth as it rotates around the sun that makes it harder for the sun to set beautifully in Southern California 9, 8, 7 days later than the first?
No. It might obviously change by a minute or two, but generally it will be about the same time.
I have a quick question on that. Andy, you might know the answer. When the Rose Bowl was not on the first, like the famous USC-Texas game was on January 4th.
I was there. And also 5 p.m. local kickoff.
Was the parade on the first? Because the parade is what we really are talking about, right?
I believe the parade was still on the first. Because I was at the Texas-USC Rose Bowl. I do not recall the parade being that morning. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody in the chat correct me.
I thought
the
parade was always the morning of the game.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. What if it's not on the first? So anyway, there's lots of issues here. And I do think, I agree with you, Ari, not just Ohio State, but I think fans were frustrated that the Rose Bowl was holding up expansion. And so I think for the betterment of everyone involved, we're moving forward. They are amending their contract to allow for this to happen. So we know that we'll have a 12-team playoff in 2024. So we only have one more full season
natural
of going through this
season,
with a 4-team playoff.
Yeah. We'll
save this for the offseason, Ari. We can have an offseason debate.
I'm just tired of people tweeting at me, you know what would be better if USC and TCU didn't even play in their championship games? Like, yes, I know that. They should change the system to make it where it's more palatable to play in those. Oh, wait, they did. They already did. They've changed it. It's going to start in 2024. I don't have to eat a hat. We figured out, because I did say on this show multiple times, if it didn't start in 2024, if it started in 2026 when the new contract starts, I would eat a hat.
I was going to have you eat one of those big hats. Have you seen those on the internet?
I have. The Brian Robinson one?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people sent me the Homer Simpson tortilla sombrero with the salsa moat around the brim. I think I would do that. I would definitely do that.
Yeah, okay, so I just think that Andy and I agree, Nicole. Don't you think the Rose Bowl should just be the national title game every year?
Yes, do it.
Yeah, I do, but I also,
they won't do
we
it.
Just went through all of this. I don't think people are like, oh, let's bend over backwards for the Rose Bowl right now.
No, I know. It's just and if we were ever in the business of doing the cool thing rather than the thing that drives the most money or is
right.
brought yes, down by contracts and depositions.
They don't have enough suites. They don't want to host it. Like, they want to be bribed to host the national title game. Like, they want New Orleans and Atlanta and Indianapolis and San Antonio is probably not for football, but they want these cities fighting and offering better bribes to do the game. And I say bribe. It's just, they're just paying. But they want a better deal to do the game, and they want to be able to sell all these corporate suites.
And so then they can say
logistically, they've done it already, so they can do it again, unless it's been changed so much that, you know, you have to have more money coming in from the suite.
No.
Well, it's I think it's more they just want it to be like the Super Bowl, where there's bids, right. and it's a whole process, and it moves around the country.
And they also used to have the Super Bowl in the Rose Bowl and in Rice's Stadium, but that's not going to happen anymore. So I'm not surprised that the Rose Bowl was as intransigent as it was, because let's be perfectly honest, the sport bent over backwards for this stupid game for decades. So they were kind of used to it. And I imagine it was a little bit of a shock to their system this time when the deadline gets set and they're like, we don't really care if you're part of this or not. You can be in it or not.
Yeah. So. And that's what I would have done. I mean, the playoff could put itself on. It doesn't need to have the bowl games and to fold them into the system, but it does. Ooh, this is a really good point. Andy just pinned this comment we have in our YouTube feed. Ari is one win away from $1,000. I don't hear enough trash talk.
You want to know why? You want to know why? Because I think they're going to lose.
Oh, well, I think they're going to win. It's funny how we reversed on this, yet on the money bet and the scorpion shot bet, you're on USC and I'm on Utah. So yeah. I do think that USC is going to win this game, but I'm probably going to pick Utah against the spread for the purposes of our scorpion shot bet. But that is a great transition, by the way, because that is our What to Watch game presented by Sling. It's on Fox Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time kickoff, 5 p.m. local. Ari and I will be in the building.
So excited. Can't wait.
I cannot wait to see Caleb Williams in person. I think he's going to solidify a Heisman campaign.
Wait, so I'm sorry. This bet is going to be decided with you two physically in the building game. Together?
Yes.
Is perfect.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
I love it. I love this so much.
Live shot. Now, here's the thing. I don't win any money.
No cheering in the press box.
I can't win any money. I can't win money until 2024. Which, by the way, I'm completely screwed by them expanding the playoff, because now they have to not make a 12-team playoff in 2024.
You lost the bet because of it, because like there's no way they won't.
Well, they'll be in the Big Ten, so I don't know.
Not next year.
In 2024.
Oh, 2024. We've got one more year.
This was a 3-year time period?
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. Oh.
I don't know why you were so against it, to be honest. But I guess that the reason why you were against it is the reason why I think they're going to lose. Their defense stinks. It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
But the reason I'm against it is also the reason I may be wrong, and I think they're probably going to win. They looked much better on both lines of scrimmage against Notre Dame last week. Notre Dame is a team that has talent up front on both sides of the ball, and USC looked really good against them. So that part scares the hell out of me. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, USC has a very has the best. Is he better than Bryce? I'm gonna duck for this. Is he better than Bryce?
I think maybe, and this is gonna be the big conversation that we're gonna all have this offseason, right?
I think if you ask an NFL general manager, who would you rather take, Caleb or Bryce, they're going to say Caleb, but they're going to say that because of the measurables. Because the Caleb's measurables make him a safer pick than Bryce. Bryce is an outlier. There have only been two other quarterbacks since 2000 that were under 6 feet tall and under 200 pounds who got drafted. One of them, Seneca Wallace. I can't even remember who the other one is. Neither one made a big dent in the NFL. Bryce will. I'm not worried about that. I think Bryce is the best at football of all the quarterbacks in the 2023
draft. Kyler Murray
draft.
Isn't in there?
Kyler Murray is thick. He's been doing his squats. He doesn't skip leg day. He's over 200 pounds.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I think Caleb Williams will be drafted higher.
But Caleb Williams is coming Caleb back Williams, next year, so we're not going to be talking about right. it in the summer.
Caleb Williams will be one or two. It's going to be Caleb Williams or Drake May, probably. One or two in that draft.
If they were in the same draft, who would you take?
Oh gosh, that is hard.
I think it still might be Caleb.
Probably yeah. Caleb.
Well, because it's the measurables, like you said.
I mean, well, no, but not over Drake May. Drake May has better measurables.
Oh no! Williams. Oh, I would take Drake May.
Yeah. Well, so I still might take Caleb though, because I just go back to even last year when Caleb was still that he would do some wild things for Oklahoma, and you'd be like, "Don't throw that ball! Don't throw! Oh, you threw that ball! Don't do that!" But you could still tell this guy is magic. And the better he gets and the more comfortable he gets in the offense, like, he's scary good.
So one other thing that I like about him is, so I do a podcast with Chris Long, and he always just points out how cool Caleb Williams looks doing anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's that. First of all, like, that's why it's such a perfect fit for USC and like all of the stuff about USC being relevant and all these things. But he really is cool. Like, he looks cool.
That's also my favorite quality of Bryce Young's, by the way.
That's true. They both look cool.
Bryce Young was cool enough to go to my wedding.
That's true. That's exactly right. He was cool enough to get invited to your wedding. That's unbelievable. But I like, because Bryce Young,
Nicole has no idea that Bryce Young came to my wedding.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wasn't he throwing with Jordan Addison?
He was.
Jordan Addison there too?
Yeah.
Were they actually at your venue?
Yeah. I was standing outside ready to take the first look. I don't know why Bill Landis was standing next to me, but Bill Landis was standing next to me.
Because you were going
to
do your first
Britt,
look
is that
with
Bryce Young?
Well, because you were going to do these romantic photos with Bill Landis.
Yeah, he was keeping me company. I had a beer in my hand, and I was ready to do the first look. Britt was gorgeous, and like, we were standing there waiting for the instruction to walk toward her, and our backs were towards her, and like, Bill was like, "Holy shit, is that Bryce Young?" Yeah, he was staying there the night of my wedding. He was at the same hotel.
So
wow,
the Caleb or Bryce thing is interesting. I do think like an NFL GM is going to take Caleb every time. I think it's in college, it's a more difficult decision, because I think, but like, if you gave Bryce Young Jordan Addison this year, Alabama's in the playoff, and we're not discussing them not making the playoff. So
Alabama is a better football team than USC.
Oh yeah.
So you're nervous? I mean, USC's defense is very, very weak.
The worst defense to make the playoff in the history of the playoff?
No, Oklahoma 2018.
Yeah,
it's
we'd
even
have to
worse
compare
than that.
It. Oh, we have it was to compare awful. It to Lincoln Riley's other teams that have made the playoff.
I forgot that Lincoln Riley had the same exact teams at every other year that he's at Oklahoma.
This was Heisman Trophy winner.
Dude, USC is going to get smashed if they have to play Georgia. It's going to be one of those, like, I don't think they could, the spread could potentially be 24, and I would lay the points, I think.
So, but you think they're going to lose to Utah again?
I do. Yeah. I just don't think that Jesse from Breaking Bad. He can't keep getting away with it. They're going to pay for it eventually.
Magnets.
Sorry. Yeah, but I think they're going to pay for it in the playoff. I think this formula, you were literally just talking about all of Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma teams. They make the playoff. They just don't win when they get there, but they make it. It's good enough to get through.
Also, is Dalton Kincaid going to have another? I don't think I've ever seen a tight end have a game like that against
USC. Doesn't force turnovers, Shadyville. The people drop it on them.
Yeah. So this is
going on with this?
I want to make that point. Okay. So I think some people think that USC has a good defense because of the turnover margin. And the way that I always talk about it is they do force some of them,
They do.
But they also are handed some of them.
Did you see that Notre Dame turnover in the third quarter?
Turnover margin is somewhat chance.
It is. The fact that they don't turn the ball over, good sign. But they forced four turnovers against UCLA and still only won by three? Like, right. that's not a good defense. Their offense has been red hot and has been really, really good, and it hasn't mattered. To me, the Utah game when they played them last was one of the most emotionally charged environments in the country. They were celebrating the lives of their fallen teammates. It was electric. That stadium at night is already good.
USC controlled the game.
Yeah. But it was a one point game with all of that. So to me, I think USC avenges this. Plus, I've been riding with them the last few weeks just because I think it's more interesting for college football if USC wins and makes a playoff.
So yeah. I have to take Utah for the purposes of the Scorpion bet. Now, the Scorpion shot bet, do I get the spread or are we betting money line on it? Spread. Okay, sweet. Oh, good.
Oh. If you hit the middle, I'm not doing anything. I'm going home. I'm flying back to Dallas.
All right.
Well, if USC wins by one, or loses by one. Oh, wait, there's no middle there.
I'm so happy to get the there's no middle. I'm so happy to get the spread on this. So now I can say what I want to say. USC is going to win this and Utah is going to cover.
What is the spread?
Two and a half. Three. Sharp money's on Utah. I have to take USC because it's...
I'm going to take USC with you.
Yeah, but part of me wants to hit Utah plus money just to hedge out of the 1,000.
You could do that in real life.
But I don't have to... I don't have to worry about it now that the playoff lets everybody in 2 years.
Yeah, but I do have a question for you guys. Is this real money? Like, Andy, are you really going to pay him $1,000?
$1,000. If they win, I'll Venmo him at the game.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if this was like a fake real bet, you know?
No. He says he's going to buy me dinner with it, which means I'm running up like a $500 tab.
Can we wait, though? Because I'm going to be in Vegas with you guys for the National Football Foundation.
When do you get to Vegas?
I get there Monday night. Can I be there for that big dinner? Can we do a big dinner Monday or Tuesday?
We could do two things, guys, because I'm going to take the grand and I'm going to blow it on you two. Ooh, I'm not like going to do anything with it as much as I would like to.
You're not gonna just put it on one spin of the roulette wheel?
Well, here are the two options. Now, this is how you can get an idea of the type of person I am. We can go to a nice dinner and blow 600 of the 1,000 or whatever on eating and drinking, whatever we want. Or we can go to a sensible dinner and put $1,000 on the Monday Night Football game and split the proceeds of the wins three ways with no risk to either of you.
Give me the fancy dinner.
Nicole?
I'm easy.
Fancy dinner.
Interesting. Okay.
I like guarantees.
I agree. And I just want a fancy dinner. That's all true. I want.
Okay.
When you sit down to one
of
those,
you know, we're going, I'm going to make a reservation.
You can order the seafood tower appetizer, as many cocktails as you want. Like, it is
something about
taking the governor off at a meal is very nice.
I'll make a reservation for three at what time do you land?
I don't. I'll look.
We don't have to plan this on the show,
right? I'm going to
do Mastro's Ocean Club in the Crystal Shops.
Okay,
great.
There you go. All right. So, go USC. Did I mention go USC? This sounds great to me. Like, this sounds like the best way for me to spend my money. So
thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
putting it on my credit card so I get the credit card points.
Of course.
That is the smart way to do it.
Absolutely. No. I have to send you the cash. I'm not welching on a bet. Like. Yeah. I will send you the cash, and that will be that. You know, a Lannister pays his debts, I legitimately think
that there is a lot
the Starks,
of...
I think.
Dude, we could go to the Caesars Buffet, Brandon. You're going to come over to my house. We'll have a few beers next season. But before then, we could go to the Bellagio Buffet, which I believe has lobster.
I don't care about a buffet. We'll figure all of this out off air, Ari. So we'll be good to go. Let's go to the Big 12. These lines all presented by our partners at BetMGM, and also we are going to be joining them out in Las Vegas. We mentioned that earlier. Ari and I will be doing shows from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook on Saturday and Sunday, so come by and say hi if you're there. And I can't wait. This will be the first game we watch. Ari, Kansas State and TCU starts at noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. Vegas time. Kegs and eggs, baby. Let's go. K-State is a 2.5-point dog against a team that it took an 18-point lead on in the first meeting and then lost it. Adrian Martinez was knocked out of the first game. Will Howard comes in. Will Howard actually got knocked out at some point in that game, too. Will Howard is now firmly ensconced as K-State's starting quarterback. Who do you guys have?
I'm scared to go first.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to say that I don't think that I think that people have been very definitive about TCU is in win or loss, or people who say that TCU is definitely out if they lose. I don't know that I am very definitive on this.
I think we know the answer to that.
I don't think
What do you guys think, though? I think they're out.
I think it depends on how this game goes.
What if they lose by one?
Then they might still be in.
So K-State is now a top 10 opponent, which I think helps. You could still say that you beat everybody on your schedule.
Mm-hmm. That's Ari's Avenger loss theory in reverse.
Yeah, yes. The problem with TCU's resume, though, is similar to what happened to Alabama, which is where some of your good wins have fallen out of the top 25. So the overall resume doesn't look as strong. I think TCU is going to win. I think, again, you know, they every time we've been waiting for them to lose, they haven't lost. They played like they had a fire under their
dropping 62 on Iowa State. I mean, like, is a big deal. Like I don't
that was a good defense.
The Big 12, like they were giving up 16.5 points a game going into that game.
It was a good defense. Max Olson does the stop rate. I mean, Iowa State is a good defense. I felt like that was a statement. I felt like they've won games with their defense, like against Texas. They did that. They've won games with some crazy comebacks. I buy TCU. It's a special season. I think they're going to finish undefeated, and I think they're going to make the playoff. And I feel that. I think Max Duggan should be a Heisman finalist. But I think like what they've done, that was a sound game, right, on both sides. The Texas game, like some of the stuff about the defense. Their defense, yes, they're a lopsided team. Like they're much better offensively than they are defensively. It is not close to what USC is. Yeah. So, like, I feel better about them. I think they're going to take care of business. I think they know what's at stake. And so I think the Horned Frogs are going to win and cover.
If USC loses and TCU wins, who gets your Heisman vote?
It could still be Caleb. It depends on how Caleb. Because what if USC loses 48-45?
And it's
that's
the
not Caleb's
Max
fault.
Duggan is like really big long shot right now.
Okay.
Is everyone a long shot though right now?
Everybody's. Yeah. Caleb was like minus 3,000.
Max Duggan probably deserves a trip to New York. But here, let me ask you the question.
Can Max Duggan win the Heisman?
Probably not.
That's why the odds are reflect. Because like I think value wise, like what if Max Duggan just plays out of his mind?
Caleb Williams would need to play really poorly. But yeah, I know. I mean, I think he's playing on championship weekend, right? Like yes. Some of these other guys we're talking about who could be finalists, should be finalists, are not playing this weekend. So yeah, I mean, he's the one that I think has the best chance, but Caleb Williams would need to throw like four picks.
Duggan's 30-1.
Well, and if he has just the game of his life, I think, you know, there is a chance, but it's probably going to be Caleb Williams. I mean, and Drake May plays later, but I don't think he has a chance now after that Georgia Tech game. So, but Max Duggan could certainly lead them to a Big 12 title, a 13-0 record, and the college football playoff, which is pretty good. I think you take that. And, you know, I wonder if they've turned a corner. Like, Tyree Wilson gave them problems when they played Texas Tech. Will McDonald did not give them problems for Iowa State. They've got Felix Anudike Azama. They've obviously played him once before, but that's another very good pass rusher that they're going to have to deal with. So how much does
But this
does
is
that
the
matter?
The Andy Staples, the committee is just going to choose what they want
in
right
that
here
scenario
at play
if they lose. If they win, they're in.
No, I'm saying if everybody knows if they win, they're in, they're undefeated. But if they lose the game and they're mm-hmm. compared to and USC wins and they're compared directly to Ohio State.
Ohio State's going to get picked.
They'll pick them over TCU, right?
Yep.
That's going to happen again because the committee
yep.
is going
and
to view.
And their excuse will be as TCU isn't a conference champion and neither is Ohio State.
It's Ohio State. We picked the better team. I think Ohio State is in if either USC or TCU lose.
I think you're right. The more interesting scenario is if they both lose. If USC and TCU both lose, Ohio State is in one spot. Who gets the other spot? I think that's probably TCU as long as they don't get blown out, but I don't know. That's I'm with Nicole. I'm not sure on this.
Yeah. I think TCU is going to win the game. I think they've proven that they're versatile enough to win multiple types of games, which is an important thing. So, you know, I think if one of the two playoff contenders, USC or TCU, is going to lose, I think USC has a higher likelihood of losing. And the fact that nobody thinks USC is going to lose makes me think they're going to lose even more.
So we're picking this game, this Big 12 game. I said after the comebacks from TCU, I'm riding TCU till the wheels fall off. I will take TCU to cover.
Yeah.
Nicole?
Yeah, I'm taking TCU to cover too.
We just guaranteed they're going to lose now.
Well, at least we don't have like little graphics though, you know, like it's,
here's the thing that's really interesting though,
three,
that we have
three
to
horned frogs right across the bottom of the screen.
I think that would be worse. I feel better about it that it's like an audio.
No, but here, listen to this. So obviously USC plays before TCU the night before.
Right.
If USC loses, I think TCU's in no matter what, which could change the, what do you mean?
I think
what
that's
if they get blown out.
I think it's probably. I'm with you, Ari.
Probably.
I mean, I guess if they lose 59-0, but you know, I'm not even considering that as a possibility.
I mean, that's never happened in a conference championship game.
It happened once.
By the way, as we're on the air,
I chose that score very specifically.
CFP has officially announced that they are expanding for 2024.
Yay! Huzzah! All right, moving on. Let's go to New Orleans. Oh, yeah, there's a championship game in New Orleans. Oh, yeah. If it were 2024, this game would mean a lot more to a lot more people. UCF at Tulane. UCF is a 4-point dog despite beating Tulane at Tulane already this season. We don't know what's going to happen in this game with UCF's quarterbacks. John Rhys Plumlee was the only QB who played in the first game, but now they're doing the John Rhys Plumlee, Mikey Keene thing. I have no idea what happens in this game. All I know is, Nicole, if it were 2024... this would be a win and you're in the playoff game.
Yes. Sorry. I am dealing with the news of the official announcement, but this is one of the reasons why they're expanding, because we've been talking all week about how few of these conference championship games matter.
Or actively hurt. How many actively hurt the league? Yeah.
Yes.
You guys, we're trying to avoid the debate.
There's no debate, Ari. We're
just
right.
Stop avoiding it.
They already voted. It's over. You lost. So
I lost. Andy, I lost.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You and all the people who are fans of buggy whips and rotary telephones have lost. Sorry. I hate to break it to you.
I do kind of miss the days of the rotary telephone.
Do you even remember the days of the rotary telephone?
That's what I was saying. I was joking. Yeah.
Those still existed when I was
a
kid.
There is something nostalgic, though, about the house landline, though.
Oh, I was explaining that to my daughter the other day. I was like, can you imagine if somebody called for you, like one of your friends called for you, and I answered and just started telling dad jokes? Because that would happen. Or like when I was a teenager and a girl would call and my dad would answer and string it out for like 10 minutes before he'd hand me the phone.
10 minutes is a very long time, Andy.
He could spin, like he could improv.
Yeah, I had to call and ask the first girl out on a date on a landline like that, and I had to talk to her dad first.
Ooh.
And I was a gentleman, and I was like, I really like your daughter. I'm going to ask her out on a date. And he goes, "Ooh, you sound like a nice young man. I'm going to hand her the phone now." And then I asked her out, and she said no. I love you, Dana. You're out there somewhere.
We could have had something. Know what she's missing, man.
So someone mentioned this. I guess, is there going to be a, like, that's that, like a 90s show, like that 70s show and that 90s show?
Yes. I think they already had it. It may have already been canceled.
Oh, well, whatever. Someone was pointing this out to me that it'll be stuff like that. People like have no idea what it was like to call somebody's house and have to talk to their parents before you could talk to them, or not knowing who is calling.
Or somebody's little brother maybe listening in on the other line or the other one of the extensions. Yeah.
My little brother used to breathe heavily into the phone while I was on it on purpose. Sounded like the Zodiac Killer.
We'll be right back after these words. Let's pick the American Championship game before we get too far off the rails. Here's the thing. UCF did very little in the passing game, jumped all over Tulane, hung on. It was very similar to the USF game last week. They didn't have to come back, like, but they hung on. I think having the opportunity and the capability to do things in the run game and the pass game probably gives UCF a bigger advantage than the first time around. I'm going to take UCF to cover. You're giving me 4 points anyway.
Roll wave.
Whoa!
They've just been really fun to watch all year.
And Willie Fritz is staying, baby.
It's a huge week for Tulane. I'm with Ari on this.
It's in New Orleans. Michael Pratt's a stud. Spears is a stud. Wyatt's a stud. It's been really fun to watch them play this year.
Listen,
it's been
a pleasure. I have to support my fellow Lake Mary Ram Colton Boomer. That's the name of the kicker for UCF.
You know, somebody just said I would be a good White Lotus hotel guest.
Absolutely would be amazing.
Fourth person that's told me that.
Wait, how do we get you a White Lotus hat?
That is the
key.
Do they have those?
They need to sell them if they don't.
With a rope on it?
Want one. We should all get those.
Britt and I are watching it. I love it.
The four seasons that this one is filmed at, absolutely want to go there.
Yeah, Britt looked it up. I think it's a nice $3,000 a night, I think.
Well, you're about to make 1,000.
I'm 1,000 closer to 1 night.
You're going to make 1,000 tomorrow night, so there you go. All right, let's move on to the SEC championship game. LSU is a 17.5 point dog to the dogs. This is so weird because, Ari, I have a little bit of PTSD from last year going into this game where we're like, we're sure Georgia's going to beat Alabama. Georgia's the better team. And Alabama pretty much pounded Georgia because Georgia was not... I think they were trying to say, can we play you guys as vanilla as possible, not give away anything for the playoff, and still beat you because we don't care if we win this game because we're in the playoff anyway. And then they threw the kitchen sink at Alabama in the championship game and won the game. I don't know that LSU's good enough to compete with even vanilla Georgia, but they were so bad last weekend, I'm expecting a big bounce back this weekend.
I just think LSU stinks.
I don't think they stink. I think they can be good at times.
They can be good at times. It's like stinky. It's like PU. Their stink is tough because they don't stink in comparison to 70% of the sport, but they stink against the team that's probably going to win the national championship.
The team that could make them severely one-dimensional and possibly zero-dimensional on offense.
I think that Georgia's going to cover with ease in this game.
I think so too. And this is how we wound up in a hype video last year. Nicole, do you want to be in LSU's hype video?
What did you do that ended up in LSU's hype video?
We ended up in Alabama's hype video.
Alabama.
Oh, I remember that. I do remember that.
We both say there's a 0%? We're like zero, zero.
Oh, yeah.
They heard me saying zero and they like played it four times.
Zero percent
chance that Alabama could win.
What a world that was, though, heading into that game. I mean, we were all really convinced of that.
I learned my lesson, though. I will never say that there's a 0% chance that Alabama can do anything. I would even say there's a 0% chance that they won't go to the playoff this year, though it feels that way.
Do not.
Don't even put 0% in Alabama in a sentence.
But what is the route? Like, if Alabama makes it, what has to happen?
TCU has to lose 59-0.
Yeah, and USC loses. Okay.
And USC.
So, I'm with you guys. I mean, I feel like it's okay to say that maybe the SEC West teams are just not as good as they usually are this year. It's okay to say that they all have more losses, middle of the pack, towards the bottom, just doesn't feel that great. I don't think LSU's been that great. It's still been an incredible first season for Ryan Kelly. They're playing in the SEC championship game. They still mean something, but they knew that they had a path to the playoff if they won out, and then they go and lay an egg against A&M. So I just don't have a lot of faith in them overall. But I do think, like, when they put it together, they're a competent team. The question is just, can Georgia, like, Georgia's messed around a little bit. Like, it's been fine. Like, they just need to, like, go into firing all cylinders version of Georgia. And
teams
don't
mess around on the stage very often either.
No, so. And that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't Georgia Tech. I mean,
Georgia
messed
around last year.
Georgia got beat by an awesome team last year.
They got beat by an awesome team, but if they had unveiled the blitz packages that they used against Alabama the second time around, that game is a very different game. Like, they were just playing straight up. They did a few twists up front, but they didn't really try that hard to pressure Bryce Young, and he carved him up. So I think if Georgia pulls out and pulls anything out of the bag of tricks, forget it. Like, there's no shot. They're covering. So Clemson, North Carolina in the ACC championship game after Clemson lost to South Carolina. Obviously, no playoff implications to this game, but Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite. I'm just excited to see Drake May against a Clemson defense that has six linemen that are going to get drafted. That's it. That's really my interest in this game. And for the teams, obviously, it's huge if you win an ACC title. For everybody else, it's just like, ah. And again, Nicole, as you mentioned earlier in the show, this is one of those games that this is a win and you're in situation. And given where both of these guys are ranked, the loser's not getting in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so this is one where, like, it immediately it changes in an expanded playoff. There's no buzz around this game, and it's in part because of the way that these two teams kind of limped into it. But I think it's interesting. I mean, we're going to be talking all offseason about, like, what is Dabo willing to change? What is this offense going to look like? You know, is DJ going to stay at Clemson this offseason? Is he going to go into the portal? Right. Like, there's a lot of questions that, you know, I'm interested to see how this shakes out. Last time DJ went out and played was not good. So what does this offense look like? How much is Cade Klubnik used? You know, what is Dabo starting to think about and do a self scout and self evaluate where the program is? Drake May is just really fun. And so I think anytime you get to watch Drake May, you should. But, you know, same thing. You know, what does Carolina need to do to actually, you know, have a more well-rounded team or be in a position where you're not going to lose games you shouldn't be losing? It's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to watch all of these. This is the last weekend of these types of games and having multiple games on at once and all this jazz. Like, we're going to watch these games. But I think, you know, my questions about this game outside of, like, just wanting to watch Drake May because he's fun to watch are just macro. You know, it's more about where Clemson is as a program.
And you'd be more excited to watch it if there was a playoff spot on the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the transfer portal stuff, I want to point this out because you and Chris talked about this a lot in Power Hour. But December 5th. That is when the portal officially opens for most people. You're going to have announcements before that. I'm going into the portal, but that's when we're going to see the ones who've not kind of kept it under wraps. It's going to blow up. If you're a grad transfer, you can go in there now. If your coach just got fired or your coach left, you can go in there now. But we're about to see. It's going to be like the first day of NFL free agency. It's going to be very interesting next week. And to your point, Nicole, I am very curious to see how Dabo uses the portal, because he's going to need to spot recruit some spots on the team to make them better if they would like to stay where they are. Because you know who's great at using the transfer portal? Mike Norvell. They're much better. We'll see with Miami. I have no idea if they're going to wind up being better with this recruiting class coming in and what they'll get out of the portal. North Carolina is still going to be good. Like, Clemson's grip on the ACC feels pretty tenuous at this point.
Here's a quick question. This time next year, is FSU playing for an ACC title?
I think there's a very good chance.
I think, yes. Now,
do they get another first-round edge rusher out of the portal? Because it's two in a row in yes, Jermaine Johnson and Jared Verse.
But they also, the wiggle room is, they're going to have more wiggle room because no divisions next year.
Right. The schedule changes, and we're going to see this. And I'm glad. That's a great transition to our last game. Purdue is a 17-point underdog against Michigan. This will be the next to last chance to see one of these games in the Big Ten. The SEC, we may have to wait till 2025 when Oklahoma and Texas get there to have the 1-2. But this will be one of the last chances to see a team that is completely outmatched, that played in the blah or meh, the meh-est of divisions, that won its division. They're probably going to get smoked in this game. And they don't need, like, in the new playoff, you don't want that team in your game, because if Purdue wins this game, they might not be one of the six highest ranked conference champs at that point.
You want me to start on this game?
Yeah,
You're on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I'll be there. This game for the Big Ten Network. I'll be doing the pregame show and also postgame player interviews on the field. So Woo! Be sure to check
Whoa!
That out.
Whoa!
And I'll be doing some Selection Sunday interviews. So
very nice.
Watch out.
Are you going to Columbus?
For Selection Sunday?
Oh, it's a joke. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm not. You can go and stake that out.
No, I'm going to be in Vegas with my friends.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You guys will be. Yeah, we'll see.
I was just joking. I just
but
I wonder,
you guys will be in by Sunday.
It'll be very interesting, those Selection Sunday interviews, like if Ohio State were to get in, like how crazy that would be the first time with two Big Ten teams in the playoff.
Yeah, and well, honestly, I have a pretty good idea of that going into the game because they play Saturday night, whether or not that's at stake. But yeah, I mean, listen, I always say this about Purdue. They've been a choose-your-own-adventure team all year. You really don't know what you're going to get out of them. They're also one of the very few programs in the country where we like have a name for what they're going to be trying to do, which is upset a top five team. They're the spoiler makers, right? Like they have this in their DNA. Jeff Brohm has trick plays. He's going to call.
Oh, he better use them all.
He's gonna run out at some point, right? But I don't really see a way that they win the game. But it is going to be interesting. It's a better matchup than if it were like Iowa again for Michigan. But yeah, I mean, if Michigan does the things that they do, which is control the game, eat clock, you know, set the tone with the offensive line, even if Blake Corum isn't 100% or can't go, pick their spots to get those, you know, those big passing plays that we finally saw from JJ McCarthy, I think they're going to be fine. Defensively, they're going to be fine in this game. So yeah, I mean, I think it should be fine, but again, with Purdue, you never really know. Also worth noting, Aiden O'Connell is going to be playing this game. We now know, you know, he played last week after the death of his brother. And so it's emotional. I can't believe he played last week and I can't believe, you know, he's going to play this week too, but there's just a lot, you know, for Purdue, they've never been in this stage and what Aiden O'Connell is going through personally. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of Purdue and how they're going to respond to those things.
I thought last year that Iowa was going to play Michigan very tough and they got their doors blown off. They're the spoiler makers when the team that they spoil doesn't see them coming. They've never win
the
games.
Big Ten championship.
This
game,
is the Big Ten championship. Like Michigan knows that they have a conference title on the line here. Like it's not, you're not going to be sneaking up on any. I think they're going to get their ass kicked.
Well, this is what happened last year, right? Like we had questions about, okay, Michigan has never been here. Is there a letdown from the Ohio State game? Like, no, there wasn't. And this is just feels like they are still in like steamroll mode.
I am tantalized after watching JJ McCarthy against Ohio State. I want to see what else he can do. But if I was Jim Harbaugh, if I don't have to, I ain't showing any of that. I'm saving that for the playoff.
Yeah. Because Michigan, unlike last year where they had to play Georgia in the semifinal, like right now, the way the playoff is set up, Michigan is going to be playing a playoff game where they are the more talented team, which is an opportunity of a lifetime. Like Michigan, in my opinion, if chalk holds and everybody that's in the top four makes it, should play for a national championship this year. Right?
Yeah.
Are we in agreement here?
I think so. If they're playing against TCU or USC, I think there's a good chance.
I think they would run through USC like goat poop through a tin horn. And I think that they could beat TCU.
I'm going to answer Ethan's question in the chat. You can also read Dear Andy this week because it's the same question I got for Dear Andy. As we move toward a 12-team playoff and super conferences, will conference championships still exist? Yes, because they make money. In fact, they have created the 12-team playoff to create more stakes for the championship games. Because are they for a bye? Are they for a home game? Do you have to go on the road if you lose? Is it win and in like the ACC or the American championship game? Or imagine if you had the American and the Sun Belt, and there's a team in the Sun Belt that if they win, they could be the sixth highest ranked conference champ. But if they lose, they won't be. And the American team, if they win, they will be. Like, that's going to be pretty fascinating. So, no, conference championships will be decidedly more relevant in 2024.
I think the question of, like, should they still exist was something that we used to debate. Like, I think when we first started talking about what would this look like if it expands, and you were looking at like an 18 bracket and all these different things. I mean, one of the areas to cut a game would have been getting rid of conference championships, but that was not part of the proposal and was not part of this whole thing. I think now with these super conferences, obviously there's more spots for, you know, Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC and USC in the Big Ten, like more spots for people to make the playoff and also have a successful season, reach the conference championships without divisions. We know divisions are going away in some leagues, probably in others. Like there are more paths to what would be defined as a successful season. So I think that's part of what this new world is going to look like.
Also, they built the 12-team model with the intent of making their conference championships games more valuable.
Also, nobody wants ties, and ties are un-American.
That's right. That's right. Did you see where the two World Cup teams, they broke the tie with who had fewer yellow and red cards? Good Lord.
I just bet all four unders of the World Cup yesterday, and I won three of them, and the one that I lost was a stoppage time goal.
Ari has been really big on betting the unders in the World Cup.
They and don't all he does, score.
All yeah. he does is text our group chat, like, oh my God, they almost scored. Ha ha ha. Every single time. Like, oh my God, almost a goal.
Oh my God, it looks like America's going to score. Oh, they did it.
Everybody, and the ugly American here, I'll admit, I have no knowledge of soccer strategy, so feel free to yell at me as an uncouth moron. But their philosophy seems to be, we score a goal, we turtle back into our shell, and we just hold on for dear life for the rest of the... And that's not just they've one team, weird, that's all of the teams.
I've learned they've got, like, weird tiebreakers, like, where if you're winning 2-0, like, Mexico was trying to score yesterday, and like if you had under 2.5...
Soccer needs a Mike Leach or a Steve Spurrier who's going to come along and be like, you know what? I would have won 12-0. Like, we're going to score the first goal, and then we're going to press you, and we're going to score more goals. And you may slip one through on us, but then we'll win 12-2.
I did not expect us to talk about the other football today.
Football. It's soccer. We're better than them at it. We can name it.
Okay. We're better at making sports.
I don't think we're better at it.
I saw this thing on
Instagram.
We're
better at creating sports. We're not better at playing soccer, for sure.
Like, how good would America be if all the five-star corners that are going to Alabama and Georgia grew up playing soccer? It's not even our favorite sport.
If at 3 years old, well, let's also have all the NBA point guards instead of
like, what if John Morant was a soccer person?
Right. Instead of playing basketball every day after school, they played soccer from 3 years on. And now I heard Taylor Twellman say this, and I thought it was really interesting. And he's right. Like, the other countries, because their players have been feeding into the English Premier League and the highest divisions of professional soccer longer, they understand the speed of the game. Their IQ for the sport is generally higher. And it's going to take a little while for America to catch up. So even if we did feed all of our best athletes in that way, it would still that IQ piece of it would have to go get ramped up too. Which
we
it would.
Locked up.
The more of them play in the EPL, their soccer IQs would go up at that that speed.
Yeah,
we locked up England with a bunch of suburban boys from Colorado. We're good.
Well, the good thing is our women.
Central PA, baby.
International.
Well, Central PA.
Our women are the best.
Some guy on Instagram goes, what's the dude's name that took one in the junk?
What's Christian?
Christian Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic. Yeah. He goes, we send the team out against England, and the best player on the team's from Central Pennsylvania, and they think that they saw everything that we have to offer.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine if they get some dudes from the muck.
From Dade County, baby.
Yeah, some dudes from Pahokee and Belgrade, like, you don't have a chance. But I'm glad you mentioned that, Ari, because we always, like, usually when we do the dumb American soccer commentary, like, we say, what if LeBron played? No.
Yeah.
What if every NFL corner played? Like, what if the 5'9", 4'3" guys played?
The three-star prospects in football who aren't four- or five-star prospects because they're not big enough.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because, yeah, if you look at the best players in soccer history, you're talking about like a 5'8 to 5'11 height range. Like, that seems to be the sweet spot.
What if it was just Boise State's recruiting board?
And speed and hips. Like, it's basically a good running back or a good corner.
Like, Steph Curry is really tall, though, isn't he?
But isn't this like what you were just talking about, like, wouldn't they have had to, like, the youth, you know, you have to go up all the levels. Like,
they would have had to spend the amount of time playing soccer that they probably spent playing football and basketball growing up.
Yes.
And that's the difference, is our interests are split in so many different ways.
The question is whether or not health concerns, like, even when my wife was pregnant, she said, if it's a boy, are you going to want him to play football? Like, I think that there are less people that are willing to put their sons.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yes. And I think this is part of the reason, like, soccer's always been a very popular sport for female athletes, right? And mm-hmm. there's no football and like, volleyball's growing, right, and all these other things. So it would have to change on the
yeah. I mean, my son plays tackle football, but he also just started playing lacrosse, and that sport is freaking boom.
I mean, wasn't Michael Vick 5'11"?
God, Michael Vick in any sport Like, can you even imagine just that level of athleticism?
By the way, we got two games. We're recording this on Thursday, December 1st. We got two games that start at 1 Central time.
Matches, Ari.
Hitting the under, baby.
All right. Ari's hitting the under. We're hitting Vegas. Nicole's going to be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game.
Dude, the Croatia-Belgium game right now is 0-0 in the seventh. It's like free money.
Nil-nil, Ari.
Nil-nil. I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be a few zeros coming into my bookie account here in a minute. Under, baby. Let's just hit it. And then I'm going to hit it again.
Okay, I'm worried about Ari being in Vegas for a week. I'm just going to say it.
Hit it again.